The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When it comes to your investments and retirement, in this economy, it's important to be smart. And with the Smart Investor Hour heard right here on AM 1420 The Answer, you'll get both smart and intelligent information you'll need to help with your investing. So sit back, listen, and learn with your host of the Smart Investor Hour, Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a beautiful day. It's supposed to be in the 60s next week, so get out the suntan lotion. You know, I thought with the eclipse coming up, I would mention Mark Twain, because, or Samuel Clemens, whatever you want to call him, because he had one great quote when asked by the New York Post, and what I'm going to go to that, use that last. But if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Always do the right thing. This will gratify some people and astonish the rest. Familiarity breeds contempt and children. And then finally, the New York Post asked him, in I think it was 1867 or something like that, 1870, I don't know, he was 42 years old at that point. There was going to be an eclipse. And there was a lot of people said this was, that everybody, it was a message from God that it was the end of the world. And there was a bunch of scientists that said, this is an eclipse. So, and his statement to the New York Post was, no amount of evidence will ever persuade an idiot. There we go, folks. So anyway, if you want any of the material that we have on this show, we talk about our dividend growth portfolio, our ADR portfolio, small caps, whatever it may be. You go to WHK 1420's webpage, go down local podcast, down to Smart Investor Show. It'll take you directly to my webpage, all right? So keep that in mind. And, a couple things while I'm thinking about it. You know, I said for several months that gold looked great, but gold stocks didn't look so good. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more during the show. But we'll leave it at that. Let's draw our attention to our head strategist, Lori Calvasina. She was on a CNBC either Thursday or Friday and did a great job. She looks young, but she's very, very bright. So she saw a couple things, and I think the first thing she talked about was lifting her S&P 500 target to 5,300 from 5,150. This makes her more constructive. She's not bearish. She's just, we'll just say she's cautiously bullish. That's the way I should say it. And she also saw some conflicting cross currents for stocks. She uses five models, and her economic valuation across asset work are sending the most constructive signals, while sentiment and politics are less enthusiastic. And third, she lifted her 2024 S&P 500 earnings per share forecast to 237 from 234. So at least we're going in the right direction, if you know what I mean. So when you lift the price target up, obviously she's more neutral these days than bearish. She still talks about the small caps. And boy, I tell you, I looked at some small caps, and I looked at some of the indexes. And then I looked at a lot of other small cap type things, and very constructive, very, very constructive. And the most constructive signals came from our economic and valuation type work. You know, sentiment has been making us uneasy right at this point, because everybody's bullish at this point. So that's not what you want. You want everybody bearish. I hate to say it, but that's just the way things work. And by the way, nobody owns energy. Energy is at the lowest level of institutional ownership in 2 years, I guess it is. Gold or and the basic materials is the second lowest ownership in a long, long time. So, you know, that gets interesting. I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes. But if we look at the economic work, the GDP model that we use in our price targets has seen the biggest shift over the past couple months, going from sending a cautious signal on the stock market to a constructive one today, you know, so that's a positive. And, you know, I mean, if you're doing spring cleaning, you know, you want to look at the S&P 500 multiple. And the question is, where do we go from here? And that's obvious. But since we're lifting earnings estimates, I don't think it's a negative type of thing. So, you know, I just think the sentiment is too bullish. And that's something that people are, when I get people calling me up and saying, hey, let's buy this, and they're all meme stocks, and they have no fundamentals, they're going up because people are short the stock, then I start to worry a little bit. Our political test reminds us that the S&P 500 full-year gains tend to be positive but below trend in presidential election years, okay? So it's not the worst time to invest. It's just not, you know, you're not going to have a 20% year like last year, okay? Now, the 20% year basically was 50 stocks, okay? So it wasn't a full, you know, unbelievable, you know, type scenario for the market. So just keep that in mind. Now, you know, look, I mean, if you're looking at things technically, you know, the S&P is in a channel going back. You know, Rob Schleimer made a great call when he said back in November that the quadrant balance oscillator was, you know, was pretty oversold. It was one of the most oversold he's seen. So now it's overbought and heading south. But what we did was we went through the uptrend channel. You know, the short term, what you do is you have an uptrend, you draw lines on the tops and on the bottoms. And when you go through the top of the channel, usually that's a problem. And, you know, I talked to some folks at Dorsey Wright, and the point and figure charts, a lot of them met their objectives, and the sentiment's bullish. So, you know, those are the type of things that make you want to pause, take a step back, you know, that type of thing. But I think the important thing is our GDP model has seen the biggest shift since January. And, you know, it's gone from a cautious signal to a more bullish signal. And, you know, GDP is important, and people forget how important it is. But the bullishness is, you know, if we do the bulls minus the bear, less the bears, you know, we're at in the 20s, and 20s are usually pretty high. If it gets to the 40s, that's real high, and that's when you get real nervous. But it's still up there. You know, it's probably one full standard deviation above where we like to see. So just keep that in the back of your mind. So, you know, we think that going forward, we're likely going to have a convergence of the have and have nots. All right. So soon all the eyes of the market will be on the first quarter earnings. And we think the full year earnings growth trajectory is very important. Growth rates for the Magnificent Seven and the non-Mag Seven stocks are expected to converge. Let me say that again. Growth rates for the Magnificent Seven and the non-MAG stocks are expected to converge. That's a very positive sign, which means you should spread the market out a little bit. But there's some lingering second-half risks that we got to keep in mind also. So when these come together, that's, you know, the first couple quarters of 2023, Magnificent Seven just blew everybody out. Now that it's coming back, so the consensus forecast earnings growth rate for, you know, the Mag 7, they expect it to decline meaningfully in 2024, okay? So that's the growth, not the earnings, the growth, okay? In contrast, earnings for the non-Magnificent 7 stocks, that have not, shall we call them, is expected to pick up. So the two growth rates should converge around to around 14%, which would be a good number, by the way, in the fourth quarter of this year. So we'll just keep that in the back of your mind. And so this leads credence to the fact that market performance has broadened out quite a bit. All right. So prior to that, the Magnificent Seven stocks within, you know, information tech, communication systems, or communication services, I'm sorry, and consumer discretionary stocks dominated the share price performance. However, since the October low, the S&P 500 sectors that don't include any Magnificent Seven stocks have climbed 17%. Energy is leading the way, folks. By the way, we talked about that in the fall. You know, we talked about that. So a little early, not too. So when it comes to 2024 earnings estimates, the challenge is that the consensus expectations are still back-end loaded. All right. So that's the risk here. And we think that the 2024 earnings growth trajectory is highly dependent on GDP growth staying resilient. And that's like, I think we're talking about 2.6% growth. You know, that's our average. And without negative inflation or employment developments, okay, because so that could be a problem going forward. So those are the things that we look at. But, you know, we do think that, you know, if you look, you know, here's energy with the, one of the worst growth rates of the group leading the pack. If you look at the first quarter, communication services did well. Consumer discretionary did well. Healthcare did well. Infotech did well. And utilities bounced a little bit. And that's all was based on the fact that, hey, maybe they're going to cut interest rates. But so far, we haven't seen that. So, you know, look, we've moved to high ground. But one thing I will mention is that the number of stocks above their 50-day moving average has declined. So it's made a lower high. So we're moving up to new highs with less companies, participating. So that's not good. You know, look, at 23 times earnings, we've made a sizable move. You know, we were very, very bullish in the end of October last year. And now I just think you just want to be a little bit more cautious. And, you know, we said that last week. And, you know, we think, you know, look, it's kind of on the central banks out there. And it's, a lot of the people are thinking there's smooth sailing out there. And that's usually when you get in trouble. You know, when everybody's saying, hey, I'm bullish. That's when you get in trouble. So keep that in the back of your mind. And I think it's important. But, you know, look, the S&P 500 unweighted index and the S&P 500 advanced decline line both hit a new high. So I think the pullbacks will be, you know, maybe sharp and scary, but they'll be limited. Okay, that's my opinion. By the way, I think Rob Schleimer agrees. And so, you know, the question is, what does the Fed need to see to lower interest rates? Now, if you looked at the jobs report, everybody was touting it as great, but it looked like it was all part-time jobs that really led the charge, you know? So part-time jobs are not exactly going to send the economy, into the stratosphere. So, look, the two biggest inflation problems right now are housing and insurance. And if you take those out of it, the actual consumer price index was at like 1%. So it's those two areas that have to, we have to pay attention to. So temporary employment has been falling steady up until last month, and it picked up a little bit. So weakness in temporary employment usually precedes a downturn. So now that it's picked up, maybe not. I don't know. Notwithstanding, the number of unemployed persons who lost permanent jobs is up 23% over the past year. So what's happening is we're replacing permanent people with part-time people. That's not exactly good. And that's probably why there's a lot of people out there that are bearish about what's going on in the economy right now. So average hours worked per employee in the private sector has trended lower for almost 3 years now. Some people are talking about a 4-week workday. I just can't believe that. That's, you know, it's hard to believe. But anyway, look, what I am seeing is we always talk about copper as Dr. Copper, because if Dr. Copper says the patient's in good shape, the economy usually lifts. Dr. Copper broke its downtrend line, which is good. And we remain constructive on copper in 2024, and we have an estimate average price of 4.25. We expect supply constraints to continue. You you set that against, you know, what we see as solid demand, it's a deficit market. So the signs of the former are apparent with lower treatment changes, and the Chinese smelters reduced output due to a lack of available concentrate. So they can't get the product. The demand side remains lackluster, as evidenced by rising inventories and some low physical premia, we'll call it, which has a lid on prices for now. But the equities also appear to be pricing in higher copper prices. So the group, as a, you know, look, I think basic materials, you know, I talked about gold catching up. You know, the gold stocks didn't do anything, and in a week they moved. Now, gold is at the, is, you know, when you have an uptrend, you know, you higher highs, higher lows, right? We're right at the top of the uptrend line. So one of two things, I don't think you go out and buy gold today. I tried to buy some gold the other day. Now, this was, I'm not buying physical gold. I'm buying GLD on the New York Stock Exchange, okay? Or I don't know if it's on the New York or the Chicago. It's an ETF that, you know, has gold in a vault, okay? So they price it every day. But, you know, the point is I try to buy some and it keeps opening up. And, you know, when I found that, usually there's a pullback. So, you know, whatever. But the point is that the gold stocks are starting to participate. And we've got a new report on gold stocks. If you'd like that, that's probably a good idea for all you gold miners out there. But I do think, you know, look, gold has broken out the actual metal from like a base that started in 2007 or 8 or, you know, somewhere around there. So, I mean, it's a huge base. So there should, you know, it could have some upside, some serious upside potential to it. And I mean, I've got a lot of names that I've written down the last couple of days. Matter of fact, today when I did my charts, boy, I must have had 20, 30 gold names. So I haven't had that many in a long time. And it tells me that, you know, people are starting to pay attention. And some of these moves are pretty significant. So it's hard to buy them up, but you may have to. All right, if the rest of the world decides that they want to pay up for it too, so keep that in mind. But you know, the dividend payments to shareholders in these gold stocks have grown pretty rapidly over the past decade, and all but one of the six largest companies on our list have dividend yields between 2 and 3%, and every one of them has increased its dividend per share at an annualized rate exceeding 20%. So these are cheap, and it's been a while since gold stocks have, you know, been something, you know, that people are paying attention to. So the dividends appear well supported. So these are, you know, you can consider your gold stocks dividend stocks now. Okay, so I'm not going to put them on the dividend growth portfolio right yet. But anyway, I think we're going to take a break. So let's take a break. And this is Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
No matter your age, someone older is always saying you're still young, and some little kid thinks you're over 100. I think about that now that I've been a professional plumber for over 2 decades and recruit and train guys in their 20s. Because there's a lot you learn in 2 decades, and one of those lessons is when you get a slow drain or a clogged drain, it really matters who you call. Why? First, because it helps get a flat rate, guaranteed price, like Wyatt Works 93 or free offer. If we can cable your clog away, it's just $93. And if cabling's not enough, then our service call is free. And that last part is most important, because you might need more than cabling. And when that happens, you really want the hard-working, straight-talking, do-it-right plumbers in your corner. Our guys will send the camera down, lay out all your options, provide flexible payments, and ensure that your sewer line is wallacadoodled to a better-than-new condition.
Consider it done at WyattWorks.com. This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
At RBC Wealth Management, we are proud of our reputation for putting clients' interests first. Our steadfast commitment to helping clients achieve their financial goals includes giving back to the communities we serve. Through supporting youth education, human services, and the arts, we hope to make tomorrow better for everyone. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
We're having a lot of
in the misty
great songs by Lenny today due to the eclipse on Monday. So I hope everybody's ready. I sent out glasses to a lot of my clients and friends. And by the way, back in March, I think it was the last week of March, I said that you probably, if you're buying bonds, you probably want to wait a little bit. Because they might pop up, and the 10 years popped up. Actually, the shorter term bonds have kind of pulled in a little bit, especially in the secondary market. It's actually better if you can get CDs on the new issue. They're hot. I mean, new issues are being bought, left and right. It's amazing. I got lucky last week, bought some on the new issue, but the secondary market is, let's just put it this way, it's the yield is not the same. There's a differentiation, and I'm not sure why. But anyway, we mentioned that you probably want to proceed with caution if you were buying the bonds because the yield might pull back a little bit, and sure enough, it did. So keep that in mind. Now, look, we remain in an uptrend. Okay. And if we broaden this out, it'll be very, very positive. I will say this, if you look at the weekly momentum on the S&P, it's overbought. And like I said, in the S&P 500, if I look at just the chart, we've gone up above the top trend line. And this is just on a daily chart. It's not like a weekly or monthly, like 2000 or 2021, I mean. So we'll probably pull back a little bit, I think. And, it depends on where you draw your trend lines. Like Rob Schleimer started in November. And in that particular case, we're right where we should be. But if you start back in October, then you're a little bit, the trend lines are important where you do it. But, look, I think the 10-year yields, they keep going at that 435 area. And selling off. We had a big reversal. What was interesting on Thursday was, the market just got creamed. And it was because Neil Kashkari said, we may even have to raise interest rates, which the market didn't like so much. as a matter of fact, it sold off like there was no tomorrow. So it's one of those things where, I think, we're going to become a little bit more data oriented. But look, if you look at the S&P 500 metals index, we're getting more positive on our fundamental basis. The technicals broke the downtrend line. So metals and energy stocks look like to me like they're going to, energy stocks just broke out above some big resistance last week. And I think that's a place to pay close attention. I mean, there's some big stocks out there, large caps that are starting to look good, and they have great dividends, 3-4% dividends. So, or maybe 2-3% dividends. Let me correct myself on that one. So anyway, back in 2008, Warren Buffett, in a letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders, he famously wrote, "Price is what you pay. Value is what you get." Whether you're talking about stocks or stocks, And what he said is, I like buying quality merchandise when it's marked down. And that assertion is a reflection of Buffett's lifelong focus on identifying and investing in undervalued businesses. You know, represent an approach that has earned him immense wealth and a place on most people's Mount Rushmores, you know. So despite that letter being written over 15 years ago, the sentiment and the discussion around price is still the same, okay? So determining the relative value of a stock can be a challenging task, and some investors have dedicated their entire careers to the process, me included. You know, and a lot of people use P.E. ratios. Some people, you know, look at other things like book value, you know, price to sales, you know, lots of stuff. And so if a stock is trading at 100 and it's going to earn $5, you're trading at 20 times earnings, all right? So a lot of people use that as a determinant to, you know, what to buy, all right? So since bottoming in October 2023, the S&P 500 price level has increased by approximately 25%, all right? That was a good call by Rob Schleimer. Over the same time, the index consensus earnings estimate for the next 12 months has increased only by 3.5%. That's a big rise in the forward-looking PE ratio, or the price-earnings ratio. So what does it tell us? So, well, if we use a PE framework, it's often valuable but not perfect. If we see this approach shirt companies, most notably, it's a failure to account for potential longer-term earnings growth. So what is the market telling us is what I guess the question is. And, you know, look, we recognize that earnings growth is a significant driver of stock market values and returns over the long run. So what is the market telling us? And I think that's important. So, you know, we could look over this many a time. You know, and this is one of the things, you know, I keep talking about. You know, we have a seminar coming up. Now, this is for people that can afford $250,000, but, you know, Marshfield and Associates are coming. And, boy, they've done extremely well since I've been involved. And their philosophy is to find companies with long-term competitive advantages in high-return businesses that are trading for temporarily cheap prices. The reward for our clients has been long-term outperformance and capital preservation. To accomplish this, it's a strong belief that we need to be as different as possible from the market in ways that add value. So they're going to be in town March 6th and 7th, and we're very limited seating, and I may say no to you. But if you'd like to come, these guys are good. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important, and one of the things that Warren Buffett has got away from a little bit, he's still buying stuff that people like to a certain degree, but when he does buy something and he sees value, he sees something that I don't see. But what Marshfield's thought process is they want to be as far from the maddening crowd as possible. Why? That's how you beat the market. That simple. Okay. So anyway, Mr. Buffett and the guys at Marshfield, the guys and gals at Marshfield, they think similarly, do things differently sometimes. So now, look, you know, we keep talking about this generational bull market, and you know, normally this lasts 16 to 18 years, and we think it started in 2016, right near the end. So we probably have, you know, to 2034, you know, somewhere around there before we got to look out for the next one. And I think this is a reflation trade. Okay, so, you know, the last big bull market was disinflation. And, you know, what we saw in the bear market from 2000 to 2016 was deflation. And, you know, back in the 70s, it was inflation. And then, you know, but we had a reflation trade back, you know, from the deflation trade of the 30s. And it started in 1940, I think, 5 or 6 or whatever, 44, and went on to the 60s. And it was a big bull market. So I think we have plenty of time to go. So, look, if we just look back at the bull markets, and I'm talking going back all the way to the bottom in 1929 to the top in 1964, whatever, 63, whatever. you know, they had a 2,300% move. And the same thing that happened in the 70s to the top in 2000 was a 2,300% move. So if we just go to 2,000% move, we'd be looking at 14,000 on the S&P 500. Still a long way to go, and that's something to pay attention to. And we also talk about this four-year cycle, which we've just begun. And we always said that this four-year cycle, you tend to have, you know, a good first year, maybe a better second year, a third year, which is not so great, and a fourth year, which is questionable at best, okay? So this next 2 years will probably be good times to be involved. And you can see by the monthly momentum figures, we're very overbought, but, you know, it is a scenario where there could be, you know, and I'm looking at the S&P 500 now, but I'm seeing some good things about the small caps. And, you know, I said a couple months ago, maybe a year ago, that, you know, we held the uptrend line. And if you look at the smaller names, there's a lot of smaller names that are starting to look good. And, you know, that may be small cap value, you know, in the basic materials and the gold stocks and that type of thing, and the copper stocks and all that stuff. But look, don't forget about AI, because they have strong revenue trends. They're making investments in other AI companies. And so it's an integration into multiple aspects of the business operations. All right. So, you know, it could include cloud platforms, data centers, you know, that type of thing. So, and what we're starting to see is AI monetization. So that's important too. And GPU, which are the main, you know, it's the server that drives AI. The availability still isn't there yet, although it's starting to pick up. And there's some other companies starting to buy into this. And I think it could get really interesting going forward. Okay. But remember, there's CapEx and growth, data center expansion, that's not going away. You know, there's going to be a bunch of partnerships. And I think one of the two things that I think is going to be most important is that, you know, if you look at the energy and utility implications, of GEI, our utility team finds that data centers represent almost half of the U.S. power demand growth through 2026, all right? Increasing forecast by 50%. There's going to be a lot of infrastructure built in that time. Hey, let's take a break and we'll be right back. This is a Smart Investor Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right here.
Streets full of people, all alone. Roads full of houses, never home.
No matter your age, someone older is always saying you're still young, and some little kid thinks you're over 100. I think about that now that I've been a professional plumber for over 2 decades and recruit and train guys in their 20s. Because there's a lot you learn in 2 decades, and one of those lessons is when you get a slow drain or a clogged drain, it really matters who you call. Why? First, because it helps get a flat rate, guaranteed price, like Why It Works 93 or free offer. If we can cable your clog away, it's just $93. And if cabling's not enough, then our service call is free. And that last part is most important, because you might need more than cabling. And when that happens, you really want the hard-working, straight-talking, do-it-right plumbers in your corner. Our guys will send the camera down, lay out all your options, provide flexible payments, and ensure that your sewer line is wallacadoodled to a better-than-new condition.
Consider it done at WyattWorks.com.
You listen to this radio station for truth at a time when truth is an endangered species. Now, we want to invite you to listen to our sister TV network, Salem News Channel. You'll find us in the App Store or online at salemnewschannel.com or on Roku or similar devices. You'll see Hugh Hewitt in the morning, followed by Mike Gallagher. You'll see Dennis Prager, followed by Sebastian Gorka. And at 5 Eastern Time, our newest star, Andrew Wilkow, with Dinesh D'Souza at 7 Eastern. Salem News Channel, the antidote to the mainstream media.
When rolling over your 401k, it's easy to get lost. Look to the experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors from RBC Wealth Management to guide you through the whole 401k rollover process. It's all part of designing a plan that's tailored to your unique investment needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
War Sunlight and Moonlight Songs. Lenny's on a roll. All right. So, anyway, I was looking, and I want to emphasize this thing on AI is people are playing AI by, you know, buying high multiple stocks. And look, I think there's other places to go, okay? There's data center cooling, which they're starting to trade pretty high multiples themselves, but I think people are starting to see what the future holds. But utilities plan to add a considerable amount of gas generation in addition to renewables and storage to their fleets. I think that's important. There's also, you know, spare capacity. You know, you get electric cars, you got, you know, basically the AI just sucks electricity. You know, you're looking at a digital currency. Bitcoin sucks currency. Where are we going to get all the electricity? It's an interesting thought, I think. I just think people are not paying close enough attention to that, and it could become very, very significant going forward. And I don't think we're ready for it. So what do we do? I mean, if you look, most of the data centers are within spitting distance, if you will, of major utilities. But what happens when they run out of room? You know what I mean? So, look, I keep talking about ADRs, and I'll, you know, I tend to beat drums until I'm right. And, you know, I don't think you have to be in a hurry to buy ADRs, but I do think the price inflation of the middle of, 2022 has kind of peaked here. And that could be very positive for a lot of countries like United Kingdom, Europe, Japan. You know, Japan's breaking out to a new high after 35 years, and it's not pulling back. Because I've tried to buy some, and I'm looking at the charts and saying, whatever. But I think a lot of these countries are starting to see good things happen, and I highly recommend that you pay closer attention to those because, look. You want to buy gold after it's at 3,000, or you want to buy it at 1,900? Okay, you know, it doesn't make sense. Do you want to buy Nvidia now, or did you want to buy it at 26 before a 4-for-1 split and a 3-for-1 split? Right? Okay, so you try to guess ahead of time. Now, we did a pretty good job. We talked about chips last fall. Chips were up 25%. Since then, we talked about banks. Banks are up 12.5%. We talked about oil in December, and oil led the way this year. So, you've got to think, take a couple. In chess, when you want to beat the other guy, you want to be three steps ahead of him. You know, Bobby Fischer was known for that. So wasn't the great Russian. So, like chess, that's the way to go. Now, look, one of the things that we've been basing our dividend growth portfolio on is lower interest rates, because when the interest rates go down, they boost the attractiveness of dividend stocks. Treasury yields, the 10-year, have actually moved up, but they keep hitting that 4.35 level and backing off. Now, I'm not a genius on interest rates, but I can just tell you that if you look at the valuation of dividend growth stocks right now, they're almost two standard deviations below where they were. Now, back in 2021, they were like that. And then 2022, they went vertical. So the dividend growth stocks actually kept you in the game. Okay. They were not only not unchanged, but they were up for the year. Right. So that was important. And the growth stocks got killed. Now, we're back at that level again, so maybe that's, what we're seeing again. But I think it's important that when you get the spread, the corporate bond spread over the dividend yield, you know, and they start to reverse course and head south, you know, that's when you got to pay attention to dividend stocks. So, look, I just think you want strong long-term returns. And when you get, you know, you can't fake a dividend, okay? You can't fake dividend growth. Believe me, there's thousands of people looking at those balance sheets and ripping them apart every month, all right? And, you know, we're going to see more of that coming up in the next couple of weeks. So most of these are really high-quality businesses, so you can put them away for a long time. And just remember, almost 40% of the return of the S&P 500 over the last 80 years has been dividends, okay? So, look, high-quality business are, you know, the signal for a high-quality business is dividend growth, all right? Look what happened to a couple of the Magnificent Seven when they added a dividend. They took off, right? So we see this as a top factor for long-term investment performance. And investors of all type like growing dividends, especially if you're retired. You know, if you're 40 years old and you put some money into dividend growth stocks, the dividend aristocrats, and you ride that till you're 68, and then you retire, or 65, whenever you retire, man, you're going to have 10, 12% yields, all right? Now, you know, if they cut the dividend, that's, they're gone, okay? So, look, dividend cash flow can be reinvested so you can, you know, reinvest it into the stock or distribute it for income. You can do it either way, all right? So if you're retired, you just take the income. If you're, you know, you're 45, you just reinvest the dividends, okay? So demographics, retirees, there's lots of them out there. They tend to mostly, they're on all our studies, they value the most highly dividend growth stocks. Not CDs, not bonds, most highly, you know, because they have purchasing power and inflation protection. And that's the biggest problem for most people that are retired. It has nothing to, you know, you run out of money if you spend too much, but what really gets to you is inflation. That's why so many people right now are upset with what's going on with the economy. You know, I just paid $4.12 for premium gas for my Audi. Okay, that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago it was $1.96. That's what we call inflation, folks. Right? So, I just think it's important that people understand that the demographics favor dividends, and they're cheap. Okay, so you know, if growth stocks start to turn the corner and hit, you know, head south for a while, they're going to be buying dividend stocks. And I think that's important too. So, you know, look, we have an uptrend. It's intact. And I could talk about supports and, you know, all that stuff, but I'll just say this, you know, we're still in that phase where the relative performance of large caps, the Russell 100 growth index versus the S&P 500, it peaked back in January, I think it was early February. So, you know, when you look at things on a relative basis, the relative performance versus the S&P 500 has peaked back then. So now the other thing that's kind of bugging me, and a lot of people are talking about small caps, and I like them too, but the relative performance versus of the Russell 2000, that's what I'm looking at, versus the S&P is not positive yet. It has not turned up. That's what we kind of need for, you know, things to get interesting. And so we'll see what happens going forward. But I think a lot of people are, you know, just jumping into small caps. And I think you can pay attention. But I think it's good that, you know, we keep hitting up that, you know, the dividend yields will be pretty impressive if they do lower rates. And we keep hitting that 435 level on the Treasury and backing off. And, you know, that may mean that, you know, Powell's right. he could be very, very right. But, you know, so we do have a small cap list that I recommend to everybody. It's our growth idea list. Now, it may be that small cap value stocks go forward. Okay. So you got to understand that too. All right. So, but this is small cap growth list. And, you know, I'm not sure which one's going to lead the charge here, but I do think that small caps are going to pay. You got to pay attention to them. you know, I'm getting a lot of names I haven't seen before. And you wouldn't believe how many names are below a dollar. So I'm not going to mess with those. But, there's a lot of stocks that got hit when they took the money away. And I don't think a lot of the money market makers were actually, they stepped out of the box, you know, so they didn't have to make a market in those things. And therefore, these things just went down and down and down and down. But, you know, it's interesting. I think that if you look, you can see the trends. All right. So keep that in the back mind. But look, dividend stocks are still cheap. I can't tell you, you know, like I said before, somebody was telling me about rental property. And I said, look, are all your units rented? Are your tenants making rent payments on time? Do you have the ability to raise rents at least in line with the rate of inflation? Some places you don't have that opportunity, by the way. Can I remove or replace a bad tenant without having the sheriff come into town? And our owners are less concerned about the value of the property on a day-to-day basis because they can't see it. Dividend investing is similar. But we got to take a break here. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes.
Cause I'm being followed by a moon shadow.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep income rolling in even long after you retire? At RBC Wealth Management, we can help you invest for the future that you want and create a personalized plan to help you create the steadfast flow of income you'll need throughout your retirement. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey friends, whether it's winter snow or spring rain, if you've got cracks in your basement foundation, the water's coming in and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Well, there is, but you've got to take the steps. This is Bob France, and the first step is to call G&J Waterproofing of Cleveland at 440-687-6079. Listen, that water collecting in the basement, that's annoying, but the mold that comes with it, that's downright dangerous. You can't keep breathing that stuff in. Call G&J Waterproofing at 440-687-6079. Harry and his team at G&J are A-rated by the Better Business Bureau and Angie's List, and they've won every service award in the industry. They've also got the best warranty in the business because they do the best job in the business for the best pricing in the business. Call 440-687-6079 for a free inspection. Mention my name, and they'll beat any confirmed competitor's estimate for the same work. Get your basement done right from a company that's right. That's right. These guys are patriots who see things the way you and I see them. G&J Waterproofing of Cleveland, 440-687-6079 today.
The answer is 1420 AM and 102.9 W275 DF, Cleveland.
When it comes to managing your retirement, it's easy to get lost. Look to RBC Wealth Management to guide you. Our experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors will build your investment strategy by designing a plan that's tailored to your unique financial needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Visit rbcwealthmanagement.com.
Right.
It's a marvelous night for a moment.
Well, Van the Man, we get started at the final 15 minutes. Anyway, so look, once again, I'm going to beat the drum on the U.S. elections. We've had some years where when the Democrats were in, the market did well. We had some years where the Republicans were in and they did well. We had some years where they both did poorly. So, it is what it is. Don't be afraid of the election. What's most important, what the Federal Reserve said. And here we are, we got gold breaking out, we have basic materials breaking out, we have, an inflationary trend, and they're talking about cutting interest rates. Now, people are not, they didn't listen to the Fed in 2022. And by the way, I thought the Fed was done in May of 2022. I said it on this show, so I was wrong. And the question is the Fed right? Because they got more information than we do. or are we right? And the answer to that is, I think the Fed's right. So just remember the normal, and we're going back to way, way, way back, okay? So the presidential cycle since 1928. And, you know, 29 was a pretty bad year. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But the first year or the election year, the average gain is 7.5% or 10.7%. I mean, that's the mean. The average is 10.7%. The second year is 6.8, 8.1. It's the third year in the midterm. The third year of their term. And then the fourth year. The fourth year is usually the best, you know, but our four-year cycle usually has the first year being the best. And, you know, so it's kind of complicated at this point. But it does say that the majority of the gain occurs in the second half of the year. So we've had a pretty good, you know, I mean, S&P is up like 14, 15% for the first quarter. That's a pretty good start, you know. So I don't know what happens, you know, going forward. Now, usually if October's down, if October finishes down, the incumbent loses. All right. That's about 89% of the time. If October's up, the incumbent wins. So we'll see what happens. But look, you know, if you look at the S&P 500, you know, Clinton versus Trump, we were up 9.5%. And then we had Trump versus Biden, and we were up 16.3%. So, you know, if you have a third party candidate, it's usually the lowest of low. And I think Bush versus Gore was the hanging chads. That was the one year and that things went straight down. But that was because uncertainty. Okay. So just keep that in mind. And I think big power politics is important, but it's really the Fed. The Fed is, you know, they provide us with liquidity. Okay. So keep that in the back of your mind. Now, some people have asked me a couple times, you know, what should we be doing? And I get organized. Family inventory workbook, the wealth plan. I can't tell you, you know, if you're 62, 65, or 57, 58, the wealth plan, we can set it up so you can see where the ideal time to take your Social Security is. And, you know, that can get interesting, you know, because it can save you a lot of money over the long run. So the wealth plan's something that I think is fairly important going forward. Do it now because tomorrow may be too late, right? So anyway, we're in this, you know, we have a nice uptrend going. Back in October, people thought we were nuts. And, you know, now I think you just got to be a little bit more cautious. Let the stuff come back to you. You know, and I don't think it's, you know, I don't think we're going to have a big sell-off of anything like that. I think what we're going to have is, you know, something that, you know, is more of a pullback type scenario, and it may be just in some names while other names continue to go forward. So, you know, that look, we're raising the earnings estimate by $3, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's important for the S&P 500. Now, if they start to lower rates, what happens with the small caps? You know, I think their numbers go up pretty substantially because a lot of them have variable debt. Okay, and variable debt goes down, your numbers go up, and they go up significantly. Okay, there's a you know, a additive to their scenario, and it could be very, very positive for small caps. And people say, well, you know, small caps do me no good. I said, that's not true. You know, you can buy small caps. There's all sorts of ETFs. I've got two or three right now that I look at that are excellent. You know, that have not only good fundamentals, but good charts. I've got some that are basing that look like they're going to get a lift off any minute. So, you know, you can do it with ETFs and not have to worry about the individual stocks. I personally like individual stocks because that's how you make a lot of money and take it from there. So anyway, in the meantime, if you'd like to set up a time with us, go to WHK's webpage and go down to the Smart Investor Show or, you know, their local podcast down the Smart Investor Show. It can take you directly to my webpage. Contact me, email me. You know, please look at the at the webpage, because it, you know, under Insight, there's a lot of good stuff. I just had somebody compliment me last week about some of the new information that we put out, and I think it's good stuff. So we constantly add to that. We roll it over every once a week or every 2 weeks. So there you go. In the meantime, if you'd like to have a conference with me, talk about a wealth plan or your portfolio, let me know. Give me a call. I pick up the phone, by the way. In the meantime, have a great weekend. It's supposed to be in the 60s next week. And, you know, keep your eyes folded down if you don't have the proper sunglasses for tomorrow. I mean, for Monday. In the meantime, this is Smart Investor Show. And remember to buy low and sell high.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Investor Hour. To reach Tim during the week, call him toll-free, 888-223-7742. That's 888-223-7742. Or visit his website, rbcwmfa.com/Tim Hayes. That's all one word in the address bar, rbcwfma.com/Tim Hayes. Please join us again next Saturday for the Smart Investor Hour to hear more smart investing from Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.